has been called Divine Invitations. And what we're doing in this series is looking at the personal invites that God has extended to us, His church. In fact, let's go ahead and get started. I put up there a definition of the word invitation. And the definition is literally this: a written or spoken request for a person's presence at a planned gathering or a planned event. And so when you stop and put that definition in place with the title of this series, Divine Invitation, what we're focusing on and looking at are there are some places and planned events that God wants us to be at. How many of you believe that there's some things that God has planned that He wants all of us to be part of? There's some events that God has penciled in on His calendar. Can somebody say hallelujah? And God wants to make sure that each of us are there, and not just us, but as many as would come and gather. There are places that God has planned and prepared that He's invited us to come to, where there will be great joy. And I'm not just talking about heaven, but bless God, how many of you know heaven's going to be a great place? But if we have to wait until heaven before we experience great joy, we're probably not going to take that many people with us. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. You know, the hope that we have, it doesn't just pertain to the afterlife, it pertains to this life, but it doesn't just pertain to this life, it pertains to the afterlife. If you believe that, say amen. So we know that there's a place that God has invited us to. It's a place where He will provide for us everything that we need. It's a place of great blessing. How many of you know what it is to be blessed of God? How many of you would say that God has taken your life and He has invited you into a place where you can share in great blessing? We know my daughter looks like she's going to the beach, not to church. She's dressed like we're going to head to the lake when we're done here. It's a place of great celebration. God has invited us to a place where we can celebrate, and it's a place where we can enjoy His protection, and a place of provision where God will provide for us. He's invited us to such places as these. It's a place where He wants to share with us. There are places and there are things that God offers to us because He wants us to be able to share in what they give to us. And then, of course, there's places that we must say yes to. However eager somebody is for you to come to one of their events or something that they've scheduled, the only thing that will make you part of it is if you say yes to it. So the places and the events that God's invited us to, we've got to learn to say yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. We got to learn to say yes to God. And so as we've talked in this series, we've examined that the first place that God wants us to come from an invitation standpoint is to come to a place of protection from the wrath to come. And I think that's a message that we need to maybe hear a little bit more now than we've heard in years gone by, because something in my spirit is telling me that the end is very, very near. And as I hear and listen and am mindful about the world events that are unfolding, how many of you believe that Jesus' return is very, 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 very near? As radical, crazy nations are becoming nuclear, and they are, and they've already vowed world war against the United States and against Israel. And, you know, there's certain things that God is not going to let happen. And Israel being blown off the face of the earth is one of those things that God is not going to let happen. And as those things begin to unfold, do you find yourself getting uneasy? Do you sense this uneasiness in the earth today? Just total unrest. And we can't get sucked into that, because God has invited us to a place where we can have perfect peace as all these things begin to unfold. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, as Jesus taught about these things and as they would begin to unfold, He said, but don't be alarmed as these rumors of wars begin to surface, as political powers begin to change, and as wickedness begins to increase, as earthquakes and natural disasters, the frequency begins to increase. Do you know what He said? Don't let such things alarm you. Glory to God. I mean, you know, we have a place of protection that God has invited the body of Christ, and not just the body of Christ, but anybody that would choose to enter in to the body of Christ, that at any time they can choose to come and enter into that place of rest. Last time we were together, which was 2 weeks ago, we talked about finding real satisfaction, that God said in the book of Isaiah, come buy from me. Remember, come buy from me food that can really feed you and drink that can really satisfy you. And so what God really offers to people is not just water to drink, but satisfaction. How many of you have spent time in your life chasing after things that didn't give you what you thought they were going to give you when you set out to pursue them, only to find that once you achieved whatever it was you was trying to accomplish, that you were still just as empty or just as hopeless as you were before? What wonderful news it is to know that Jesus offers us satisfaction and we can be satisfied in Him. And tonight I want to talk to you about number three, coming to a better place. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Numbers chapter 10. We're going to look at this tonight, that God gives us an invitation no matter where we are. Raise your hand if you're in a good place. Well, if you're born again, you're in a good place. But did you know that God wants to take born again people that are in a good place? He wants to take you to a better place. No, you didn't respond very well to that. You have to understand that even if you're in a good place, God wants to take you to a better place. And we have to say yes to the better place that God wants to take us to. And we also have to remember, as we're going to look at in this text tonight, that in this better place that God wants us to go, there's going to be some enemies, aren't there? There's going to be some opposition, isn't there? There's going to be some battles that still need to be fought. There's going to be some rivers that need to be crossed. There's going to be some things that still need to happen. But even though it may stretch us to go to this better place, God wants us there and He's inviting us to come. If you're willing to go to a better place, just lift up your hand and let God know. Even though it may take some extra work, even though it may take some greater commitment, even though it may take some change. Some change on our part and some stretching on our part. It will be worth it when we get to the better place. If you believe that, say amen. And so let's go ahead as we look at Numbers chapter 10. This is such an interesting portion of scripture. It says, one day Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab, son of Reuel the Midianite, we are on our way to the place that the Lord promised us. For he said, I will give it to you. Come with me, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised wonderful blessings for Israel. But Hobab replied, no, I will not go. I must return to my own land and my own family. Moses pleaded with him and said, please do not leave us. You know the places in the wilderness where we should camp, so come and be our guide. If you do, we'll share with you all the blessings that the Lord gives us. Would you join me as we pray? Father, help us to understand the truth that you are sending forth in this word. Help us also, God, to apply these things to our life. Help us, God, to be inspired to come to the place that you're calling us and to receive all that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, really, at this point in the life of Moses and in the life of Israel as a whole, there were a lot of good things that had already happened to them. I mean, when you stop to consider where they were just, you know, a few months prior to where they are right now, you would almost wonder, could it get any better? And truly, you have to, and how many of you have ever wondered, can life get better than it is? I mean, I'm truly living the dream, but I know that there's better things ahead. How many of you would look at your life and say, man, life is so good today? I mean, it's so easy when life becomes as good as it can become in Christ that we just begin to rest and kick back and that we never chase after anything more, that we never are open to any better thing in our life from God, any greater thing in our life from God. We just get complacent and content with the good place that we're in. And you know, when you look at the nation of Israel and Moses in particular at this time, it would be understandable because they had recently been rescued from slavery. I mean, for 400 years, a people had been enslaved and in bondage. They had never known freedom. Now, all of a sudden, through a whole series of miracles, God, I mean, consider what they must have felt like watching God perform all these miracles and then to take the wealth of Egypt, the livestock, the wealth of Egypt went with them when they left Egypt. So God had delivered them from bondage. He had rescued them from slavery. He had freed them from misery, and all the pain and anguish that they had experienced was part of their past. It wasn't going to be part of their future in Christ. And he had provided for them miraculously. As I said, the wealth of Egypt was taken with them when they left. But even more than all of that, God was revealing himself to these people. God was speaking to them through Moses. He was making and forming a covenant with them. It was great, great days for these people. How many of you would say that these people were probably thinking, even though we know they grumbled, even though we know that there were times when they got dissatisfied and murmured, how many of you would say that their life was far better at this point than it had ever been before? And yet, God was wanting to take them to a better place. They were no longer slaves. They were no longer in bondage. They were no longer in misery. They were no longer in captivity. They were miraculously being provided for. And God said, I have even more for you than this. Somebody say amen. And you know, it's wonderful to read these stories because how many of you understand we've been delivered from sin? We have been miraculously rescued. God has freed us from bondage. But even though all those things are so very true, God wants to do even more in our lives. And one may wonder, well, what more can God do? There's a lot more God can do. Could somebody say amen? So this greater place, this better place that God wanted to take them was a place where he declared that the land would flow with milk and honey. Remember when in the book of Numbers, when Moses sends the spies over to look at this land, they come back and they say, wow, this place is better than we've ever imagined. It's so much more than we've ever even thought possible. This is a land. It surely flows with milk and honey. The fruit of this land is so immaculate. It is so incredible. The vineyards are wonderful. The cities there, they're fortified cities. They're magnificent structures. They came back and they had seen that city and they were amazed at the city. But you also know the story goes on to say that they were more afraid of the opposition that was dwelling in the city. And even though God was wanting to do something wonderful and great, this place that he wanted to take them was so much better than where they were. And where they were was a good place. They were free. They were no longer in bondage. They were no longer being oppressed. God wanted to take them somewhere better. It was a land that would flow with milk and honey. He said that you would live in cities that you did not build, that you would eat from vineyards that you did not plant. And as I said before, these weren't normal vineyards. The fruit of these vineyards were greater than any fruit that had ever been seen. Consider this, that no matter how fruitful you are right now in your current ministry and in your current assignment, God wants to take, I feel like this is a word for somebody. God wants to take you to a place where the fruit will abound in greater measures than it's ever abounded before. And you may be in a place right now where you're fruitful and where you're experiencing good things, but where God wants to take you will exceed where you currently are. If you believe that, can you say amen? Now, how many of you want to hear the rest of this sermon? Oh, then you're going to have to do a little bit better tonight than what you're doing right now, okay? You're going to have to do a little bit better than this, okay?
Okay.
God has a place that's better for you, a place, and I'm not talking about heaven, but I am talking about heaven. I'm not excluding heaven from this conversation, but for some reason, many people are convinced that the promised land is heaven, but there's a promised land in this earth where God wants you to be as fruitful as you could ever be. He wants to provide for you in miraculous ways. He wants you to have victory over all of your enemies, and that's what God had promised to these people, that they would would no longer be living in the desert, that they would be in a place where there would be plenty of fruit. They would be in a place where there was plenty of room for them to grow and increase, and they'd have victories over all their enemies, that God would be with them and that blessing would flow from them. Consider what God was promising, that I will bless all the ends of the earth through you, that I will establish you as a people, and that because of the blessing that I will place in your life, every person on the face of the earth will find a blessing that flows from you. And isn't that what God wants for his church? God wants his church to be a source of blessing to other people. God wants his blessing and his love and his mercy and his power and his goodness and his grace to flow through the body of Christ. That's why he's given us gifts. Can you say amen? He's given us gifts. And as we begin to grow and enter into a place where we discover our gifting and we discover what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives, then that life of God begins to flow through his church and the earth gets blessed. People get blessed. People become blessed because of what God is doing in our lives. And so God desires to take you to a better place. Now, it is better because it's a place of healing for your broken body. And why is it that we sometimes settle for being sick or settle for having pain in our... Listen, do you believe... She said, what? Do you believe that God wants to take you to a better place? Amen. Do you really believe that? Yes. Okay, so would it be better to be healed or to just endure the sickness? Which would be better? Would it be better to gracefully accept the pain in your body or to be delivered from it? Well, then we have to be willing to go to the place that God wants to take us. God desires to take us to a better place, a place of deliverance for your family. Raise your hand if you have loved ones that need to be saved. Raise your hand if you have grandchildren that aren't living for Jesus, but they should be. They were raised and taught to serve Jesus. Raise your hand. If you raised them right, but they're living totally contrary to the way that you taught them. Raise your hand if you'd say, Pastor, there's some deliverance that I need in my family. Can I tell you, God wants to take you to a better place. A place where you have peace in every situation. Glory to God. He wants to take you to a place of hope when everything is falling apart. And you know, right now, there's so many people who are experiencing this. They're experiencing so much truly despair in their life because the world has fallen apart. Everything as we know it is rapidly changing, and yet God is saying, look, I want to take you to a better place. Even though this world is just shifting sand and we're seeing it more and more and more and more, we're going to see it in the future, but God wants to take us to a place where there's hope in every situation, a place where we can find that there's meaning and purpose for our lives, where it's not just meaningless living anymore, but a place where we understand that God truly has a purpose for us. How many of you know that there's a call on your life? Raise your hand if you know that you're called of God and that you're living in your calling. You know, I say this a lot, and I mean it. I really feel like I'm living the dream, and I understand why that is, because I'm right smack dab in the middle of God's perfect will for my life. And when you're in the center of God's will, everything is just, it's different. Even when, it's true, I'm not making that up. Even when you're going through difficulties, and we have difficulties, even when you have family struggle and challenges, and we have had our share, just as other people in this church have, yet when you're in God's will, there's just certain things that come that strengthen you and change what is going on around you to a point where it doesn't weigh you down. Where Paul said, I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Why was that? Because he was in God's will. And in God's will, God provided things for him. In God's will, there was a place for him where he could escape from all that other stuff. And that's where God wants us to be. It's a place where you matter. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you matter to God. And even though sometimes we may feel like we don't matter and we may even believe that our life is meaningless, God has a place prepared for you where you matter. where you are used of Him and where people value you and where your gifts and your talents are appreciated and they're used for His glory. It's a place where you matter. And I just want you to know that you need to realize that God doesn't want you to live your life in the desert. And even though these people had been delivered from slavery and bondage and they had escaped the misery and all the horrible things that they shared in Egypt, they were living in the desert. It was a place of dryness. It was a place of just barely enough. And God wanted them to come into a land of more than enough. God wanted them to come into a land of plenty. A land where it flowed. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm coming out of the desert. God doesn't want you to live your life in the desert of tribulation. And you know, maybe you've been going through trials for a long time. Maybe you've experienced hardship for a long time. I want you to know God's calling you to a better place. God doesn't want you to die in the tribulation. God does not want you to expire. God does not want you to assume that that's where you're supposed to live your life. God wants you to come out of that place. Can you say amen? God doesn't want you to live in a place of spiritual dryness. He's got something better for you. And if you feel as though right now you're not hearing from God and you're not experiencing His presence and your walk with God is not what you'd like it to be, then what you need to know is God's got a better place for you. It's a place where His presence will be sweet. It's a place where you'll hear from Him regularly. It's a place where you'll dine with Him and He'll feed you and you will experience Him. Can you say amen? God doesn't want you to live in the desert of spiritual barrenness. You know, I said this morning and I was absolutely amazed at the number of people that lifted their hands. I was truly shocked. When I asked how many of you have ever led somebody to faith in Jesus Christ, and there were hands that went up all over the place. That's wonderful. That is a wonderful thing. But when was the last time you led somebody to faith in Jesus Christ? When was the last time that God used you to disciple somebody? Or I should say it this way, when was the last time you let God use you to disciple somebody? See, spiritual barrenness is not what God wants for us. He wants us to be fruitful servants. Can you say amen? Amen. And it's time for some people to realize God is calling you out of that place of spiritual barrenness. He truly wants to use us all, doesn't He?
Amen.
And you know, I find that sometimes people wonder, at this stage in my life, what can God do with me? I've talked to young people who have experienced things like divorce, who have experienced things like moral failure, have experienced things like sin, where they've backslidden and fallen back into old ways, and then they think within themselves, how could God use me now? Because He's God. Because He's God, and He can do anything, and He doesn't want you to be barren. He wants you to be fruitful. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm coming out of the desert of emptiness. Coming out of the desert of doubt. How many of you are ready to be people of faith? Glory to God. Coming out of the struggle. Coming out of being ineffective. You know, I think about the number of people who live their life in total isolation. They've been beat down by the devil. They go to church every week. You know, it's... Do you have friends in church? Raise your hand if you have some friends. I'd say one thing about this Sunday night crowd. I think this crowd's a pretty close-knit group of people. Everybody in here would probably call each other friends. But you know, there's people that go to church and they don't feel like they have friends. And they're like, man, I don't have no friends, Pastor. I need some friends. For crying out loud, you go to a church where there's well over 400 plus people and you don't have any friends? You are part of the largest organism on the planet, the body of Christ. Amen. And you don't have any friends. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, a God that will never leave you and forsake you, and you believe that you don't have any friends. Do you know why people believe that? Because they've been isolated. They've been convinced that people don't like them, that people don't understand them, that they can't relate to nobody, that they're different than everybody. The enemy has totally boxed so many people in to a desert of isolation. And it wouldn't matter if you started to call that person 5 times a day. You know what? They would still feel lonely at the end of the day. They would still feel alone. Do you know why? Because in their mind, they're convinced that they are. God wants to bring you out of that desert of isolation. Amen. You know, so much is available when people say yes to God. I'm going to get involved. Why? Because I'm not going to be isolated no more. I'm going to find a place to serve. Why? Because I'm not going to be isolated no more. I'm going to make friends. I'm going to be part of a small group. I'm going to get connected with people. Why? Because I don't want to be isolated anymore. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm coming out of the desert of temptation, the desert of defeat, the desert of humiliation. God's got something better for you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, God has something better for you? When you stop to consider that God has placed you in a church body, you know why God has put you in a church body? A lot of the things that God has planned for you will come through the members of the body of Christ. As God connects you with people. And that's why you have to be open. You got to... I always scratch my head when I hear people say, I just don't feel like I'm connected anymore. Then connect yourself. Get connected. If you're waiting on somebody to make a connection with you, you're probably going to be waiting for a long time. But sometimes what needs to happen is we need to initiate things. But when the enemy isolates us and boxes us in, that's why God wants to call you out of that place, glory to God. See, God wants to bring you into the land of the living. Can you say amen? Amen. God wants to bring you into the land of blessing. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Into a place of communion. Think about what that word means. God wants to bring you into the land of communion where there's union with Christ, where there's togetherness, where there's fellowship. And as John says in his epistle, our fellowship is not just with one another, but with the Father, glory to God. God wants you to experience Him and have relationship with Him. And He also wants to bring you into this place of inheritance and this place of victory and this place of provision, this place of promise, this place of outpouring and overflow and truly a place of freedom. And God can do it. Can you say amen? No matter where you are or what you're going through, He's calling you to a better place. And so really what you need to do is get your hopes up. Turn to your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up, man. Stop believing for so little. Stop expecting such small things to happen. We serve a big God. I said, we serve a big God who can do great things, and we need to start believing for more. We need to start expecting more. We need to start truly anticipating good things to happen. It's almost like we expect bad things to happen. Raise your hand if you struggle with that. Be honest. It's like you expect the worst. Oh, so got a lot of lying people in this church. We need to pray for that spirit of deceitfulness to be driven out of people. We tend to believe for bad things, but yet we know that God is calling us to a better place. When something bad happens, what's the first thing somebody says? I was afraid that was going to happen. Well, I figured that would happen. Yeah, well, my best friend told me this is probably what was going to happen. Well, you know, I should have known better. This is the same thing that happened last time. Those are the kind of statements that we say all the time, and yet we say, no, Pastor, I'm always believing for something good. For God said, I will give it to you. Moses is saying to his brother-in-law, come with us. God has promised a good land. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Aren't you glad to know that God has made some promises to you? God is the one who promised. And guess what? God is the one who promised. God can do anything. God desires to bring you into a better place. I want to read you this verse from Romans chapter 4 real quick. Let me jump down here a couple. Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, His faith grew stronger, and in him, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. God is able to do whatever he promises. Sometimes we've been stuck in a certain place so long. Sometimes we've been barren for so long. Sometimes we've been in a place of dryness for so long. Sometimes we've been in the struggle so long that we don't know how it would ever change. Well, listen, God can change it. He can change it. Do you believe that tonight? Sometimes we've had health conditions. You know, my back I've been resisting the devil ever since I came home from El Salvador, man. My back has not been well, but God touched me this morning in church.
Amen. Glory to
God. I mean, I hadn't said nothing to nobody, hadn't complained to nobody, and hadn't, you know, made any doubtful confessions with my mouth. I was believing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and that his promises will come to pass in my life. But for the last couple of weeks, man, I could barely get up off the couch. I mean, I could barely move, and my wife kept looking at me thinking there was something wrong, and that's because there was something wrong. But this morning when I was preaching, I felt just, I told her it was the weirdest thing. I felt something in my neck, but I got healed in my back. I can't make sense of it to you, but I just felt this crazy vibration that went up through the back of my neck and into the base of my skull, and my vision on this side of my head started to flutter, and the next thing you know, I felt heat flying through my neck and up to my head, and my back hasn't hurt since then. God touched my body. Glory to God. Patricia gave her testimony this morning of how she had been on oxygen for some time, and I really believe that was to encourage Pastor Don, as I told you earlier today. But after she gave that testimony, another woman, a guest in the church that was here today to bring her son who has struggled with drug addiction, she wanted to bring him to this church because she heard about the nature of our ministry. So she came and brought him with her, and she came up to me afterwards and she said, "Pastor, that woman's testimony touched my heart, because for 4 years I was on oxygen, and the doctors had told me that I would probably be on oxygen for the rest of my life." She had some pulmonary, some fibrosis stuff going on in her lungs. And she said, but I was believing that God was going to heal me. And I kept going back to the doctors, and things started to get better, slowly started to get better. And they began to reduce the amount of oxygen that I was taking. And then one day I went into the doctor, hadn't even thought about my condition for very long. And she hadn't thought about it for a long time, but she went into the doctor as normally she would do. And the doctor said to her, "You know what? There's no need for you to be on oxygen anymore." Amen. Glory to God. God healed
Glory
her.
Glory.
How many of you believe God wants to take you to a better place?
Amen.
It may take a little while to get there, but how many of you are willing to go?
I am.
How many of you are willing to start taking footsteps in that direction? Glory to God. Come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised wonderful blessings for Israel. I like that verse because that verse really begins to tell us and express to us what our duties are as Christians, that we need to invite other people to come and be part of this wonderful invitation that God has given to us. Would you, German, would you come at this time, and would the rest of you stand up on your feet? So here is truly the great invitation. This invitation came through Moses to an outsider. Come with us. God has prepared something wonderful for us, and we want you to come and be part of it. It was extended by God through his servant, and God has always desired to bring in the outsider. Abraham was an outsider. Rahab was an outsider. Jesus reached out to the tax collectors. He reached out to the lepers, and part of our calling is to reach out to those. To reach out to those that are outsiders and invite them to come and invite them to be part of this wonderful thing called Jesus, this wonderful thing that we call faith. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? I know that many here tonight, you may be in a place where you're experiencing some of the things that we talked about, loneliness, isolation, pain and weakness in your body, spiritual barrenness, dryness, but God is calling you to a better place. And listen, there's a reason that you need to come into this better place. Because once you get there, God will use you. He will use you to bring others with Him. God has a plan for your life. And if you're ready to take steps forward and begin to move into the better place that God has for you, and I know for each of us tonight it could be a little bit different. There might be some people that are trying to figure some things out in their life. Listen, God wants to bring you into a better place, a place where you don't have to wonder, a place where you can know. And if you're ready to move in that direction, just lift up your hand because we're going to pray together tonight. Say this prayer with me, Father God. I make a decision that I'm coming after you. I'm not going to die in the place that I'm at because you have something better in store for me. I'm going to grow and I'm going to be fruitful. There's a lot working against me, but there's an unstoppable God working for me. And I'm not going to be moved by my opposition. Instead, I'm going to be empowered by my Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people tonight. And I am thankful, God, that you are calling us to a better place individually. And you're calling us to a better place as a church. You're calling us to a better place in our ministries. And God, help us to remember that you're the God of today. You're the God of the now, not the God of the past. You're the God of the now. Help us, God, to have hope where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.